Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Johnson from Bethel AG Church. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We are so glad we could connect with you through this podcast. Please ensure you subscribe to receive new messages every week. We pray this podcast builds your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and motivates you to live a life of excellence for the glory of our Lord. Thank you for your support. Enjoy the message. On the importance of following God's principles, because when you practice God's principles, you're honoring God's character. And when you honor God's character, because God's principles are basically an expression of God's character. And when you do that, God's power begins to follow on God's promises. But when we dishonor God's character, God's power cannot be available to fulfill the promises, because if God blesses what we do in denying God's character, it might seem wrong. And therefore, even though at times God in His compassion and mercy continues to bless those who break the principles of His word, this morning are reminded that we must get back into honoring God's character by practicing the principles of God's word. And thanksgiving is one principle we've been studying. And today I want to do part three of thanksgiving. If anybody is getting bored with thanksgiving message, you just have to become thankful for the message of thanksgiving. The Bible says that it's so important and profound and singularly important. When I say this, it's not that other things in the Bible are not important, but this is so very important that we learn to have a thankful spirit, a thankful heart. Nehemiah is one such character in the Bible who came out of much adversity. He had to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem when certain kings of that region of the kingdom stood against him. And as if that's not enough, there were people from Israel community itself that stood against him saying, no, you don't have to build. And there were prophets who were prophesying falsely in the name of God, weakening Nehemiah to put a stop to the construction plan he was doing. A lot of times, if the enemy just came in the form of Goliath, it's easy to throw that stone and bring him down. But when the enemy comes in the form of Bathsheba, even mighty David seemed to tumble and fall. A lot of times the enemy uses his wickedness not in the form of an enemy, but sometimes in the form of a friend. And isn't it Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus, who couldn't be captured by anyone else, but it was a hug and a kiss that actually put Christ on the cross. A lot of times the enemy comes in deceptive ways. And the Holy Bible says that Nehemiah faced such a big challenge as he stood up to rebuild the broken walls of Jerusalem. At that time, with the fights that were going on, there was a situation that there weren't enough hands to do the work. There weren't enough men to actually build the broken walls and rebuild the temple. In fact, men had to hold sword in one hand and had to lay bricks one on the other with the other hand. It was a terrible time. It was a difficult time. Imagine working one hand a sword and the other hand you have to build the wall. Imagine fighting the enemy. Half your energy goes there. You just have half the energy to focus on your work. And in that kind of a situation, Nehemiah decided to do something interesting. Let's read it. Nehemiah chapter 12 verse 31. I had the leaders of Judah go on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs, excuse me, two large choirs. Bro, now we need hands to build the wall. He says, no, no, no. Even though we don't have enough people, we need groups of choirs that will specifically sing thanks to God. Okay, where do they sing? Do they have a platform? Do they have a podium? Where do they stand? Let's read on. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right toward the dung. This is what sometimes the Bible comes with, such anti-climatic, anti-cultural. It comes with such conflicting views. Does anybody sing near the dung? Dung is such a professional word for what slang is used in English. S-H-I-T. Dung is just a polite word. I mean, you want the choir to sing thanks to God. When they finish singing one line and they breathe in for the next line, all that stench goes in. How will thanks come out, brother? Those ladies are going to fall fainted. They are so used to the Middle Eastern aroma of the fragrance. And this stench, how can somebody be thankful with stench around them? Nehemiah knew one principle. Thanksgiving is an attitude and not the result of circumstance. It is the decision of the heart and the disposition of the mind. If somebody wants to be thankful to God, right in the midst of the dung, they can be thankful to God Almighty. Hallelujah. Some of you may be going through dung in your reputation. Maybe someone splashed dung on your career. Maybe there is dung about you in the social media. Maybe there is dung about you in the family. The best way to respond is not to focus on that, but to stand in the middle of the stench. Lift up your voice with thanksgiving to God for whatever you have. Oh, my Bible says that Nehemiah is the only ayah in the Bible who knew the power of thanking God from the middle of the dung. That four-letter word in English, D-U-N-G, can become your platform of thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This dung can become the place of your thanksgiving. Nehemiah said, choir, we're going to sing. Where, pastor? In the dung. Yeah. With dung around, with the whole atmosphere stinking. You need a mask. Where people close their nose and try to breathe through their eyes. These guys decided to beat out, belt out their best numbers, wrap it on the podium. In the middle of the dung, they sang thanks to God. When you sing thanks to God, you provoke God to do something. Thanksgiving invokes God's presence. Let me ask you a question. When the Lord Jesus Christ was doing miracles, everywhere the Lord Jesus did miracles, tell me, what were the common things? What were the common elements? He healed the blind man, walked on the water, raised up Jairus' daughter who was dead. He fed the hungry. He cleansed the leper. I mean, he just did miracles all over the town. In fact, the Apostle John, in writing the Gospel of John, says Jesus did so many miracles that it can't be all written, because the miracles he has done, if you start writing books about it, the earth would be filled with books. But what were the common things in every miracle the Lord did? Love, absolutely. Jesus loved people. Go on. Healing, yeah? This is bad. Thanks. No, but that's something, you know, I'm going to say, because I'm preaching on thanks. But anyway, she's a PhD, you know. No, she is a PhD. You're a PhD in?
In science.
But you cheated. You know I'm preaching on thanksgiving. Faith. Did I hear that? Faith. That's right. Jesus had love. People had faith. Anything else common wherever the Lord Jesus did miracles? Compassion. Absolutely. Compassion. Anything else? Jesus had compassion. He had love. People had faith. Okay? Jesus blessed, of course, everywhere there was a miracle, he blessed. Anything else? Think about it. He gives forgiveness, obedience. These are all very common things where Jesus did miracles. But can I add to your answer? Wherever there was a need, only there Jesus could do a miracle. There were a lot of blind people sitting there, but only one fellow felt the need to see. Jesus couldn't heal the others. Only the fellow who felt the need to be healed got healed. Jesus never came and said, everyone get healed. No, others don't want it. Jesus will never force anyone with a blessing. Jesus never forced anyone with a healing or a miracle. Only those who need. Need was one common factor. Another common factor, faith definitely, character definitely, Jesus, compassion definitely. Another common factor, he was there. Jesus was the common factor. There are many people who believe I'll have a thankful heart, miracle will happen. It won't, baby. Only if Jesus is there, miracle will happen. You see, Jesus himself was the common factor in all the miracles. We need his presence. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with new car. No. New clothes. No. With your ordination certificate. No. With Bible college degree. No. Enter into his gates with what? Tradition. No. Church membership. No. Enter into his gates. There is only one way where you can enter into his, invoke his, enjoy his, have the touch of his presence. It is by a heart of thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. When you are thankless, you are presence of Godless. But when you are thankful, you are invoking God's presence to its fullness. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is often an expression, as the word is thanksgiving. Thanks is something you give. What's the difference between gratefulness and thankfulness? Gratefulness, there is no great giving. It's only grateful. Your heart is full of a sense of appreciation for what you inherited or what you achieved. It's filled with pleasure. That's called gratefulness. But thanksgiving is when you take that feeling of gratefulness and put that feeling into action, when the noun becomes a verb, when there is action to the feeling of gratefulness, it becomes thanksgiving. Action of speaking it out, action of giving something, action on the feeling is thanksgiving. Many men sit in the church, God knows my heart. I'm grateful. You have to promote yourself to thanksgiving. There has to be an expression to your emotion. Then only it becomes thanksgiving that opens his presence. Thanksgiving is more than just feeling grateful. It's expressing that praise, expressing that appreciation through activities of the body, mind, and spirit. It's so important. That's why the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's read verse 18. Give thanks in, for this is, many of you who want to know, Pastor, can you pray and tell me God's will for my life? Read 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you can start with doing this will of God, of thanking God in everything, then God will measure to you and reveal other plans he has for you. You want to know God's will for your life? Start with this. Start with thanksgiving in all circumstance. What is all circumstance? Circumstance, the meaning of the word circumstance there is opportunities, commitments, and situations. Sometimes when God gives you opportunities, people sometimes get scared. Can I do that? It's going to be hard. I don't think I can measure up. Oh my God, will I do well? Fear. A sense of cold feet, a sense of overwhelmed feeling. Sometimes somebody is there to help us and we succeed and we ignore God. We are sort of caught up in the euphoria. We are excited in the pleasure. And we are so distracted by the success Don't get angry with God because you're overwhelmed by your commitments and responsibilities. Don't forget God and ignore Him just because you're successful and enjoying pleasure. In every situation, let's remember to be thankful to God. Calm down and just be thankful. Sometimes we are tired and bored with our situations, which are taking longer or tougher or menial. Sometimes people are just tired and bored with paying that loan for the next 15 years, doing the same job for the last 10 years. No. If we can learn to be thankful, it begins to become more productive and more blessed. Calm down. With thanksgiving of faith and surrender to God instead of getting offended and upset. Because when you're giving thanks to God, irrespective of what is happening around you, especially when people fall in sin, when you're discouraged because you committed another sin, you went through a failure, you did a mistake, and you're feeling, how long will I keep repeating the same thing? This negativity, oh God, why? Even in those situations, repent and become thankful. Instead of being discouraged, say, Father, I thank you that you not only forgive me, but I believe you're going to give me the grace to get better. You're going to give me the grace to change for good. I know you are on my side. I know I may have made you upset. I'm upset, but you love me so much that even if I give up on myself, you won't give up on me. So I thank you, oh God. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Even in those bad moments of adversity where even you can't forgive yourself, learn to thank God for His goodness. Sometimes people, you know, we just have to learn through thankfulness. I have a very funny personal story. Can I tell you? Okay, so this was many years ago. this is before my marriage. I decided to, every year I used to go on this long fast. Fasting and praying. So that year it was, I think, 3 weeks, 21 days of absolutely no food, but yeah, tea, coffee, and generally that's about it. I loved fasting and praying because it also helped me with my weight. I would lose straight 7 to 10 kilos in 21 days. I mean, it's not like I had much to lose those days, but I'd look so skinny. Once the church... my friends purchased me suspenders, you know, suspenders. Because my trouser was going down. They said, Pastor, not safe. And they yeah, don't work your imagination. But they purchased me suspenders. And I preached with suspenders because of my fasting prayer. So those days I had the kind of time to do it. But I don't talk much about those things. One of the reasons is because I really feel that it's beautiful to fast and pray. I believe in it. I practice it on a very private level. But sometimes I think it's commercialized and it becomes too much of what God didn't mean for it to be. And so that's probably why I have developed a habit of not talking much about it. But back in those days when I had the kind of time and even today, but not that kind of length, I just had this desire in my heart. Sunday, I'm going to start fasting prayer for the next 3 weeks. But by Thursday or Friday, I have this unquenchable passion, hunger, desire to eat KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I mean, those were the days that Kentucky had just opened. KFC had opened in Brigade Road. They had just opened their Bangalore franchise. I just wanted to eat KFC. I mean, I had it before, but I don't know why. I just wanted to eat KFC. Does it taste like the same in the US? Does it taste like the same I ate from Dubai? I had all this, I don't know, something. And I'm feeling so terrible about myself. In Jesus' name, Johnson, calm down. You buddy, shut up. I'm going to fast. I mean, how can I be thinking about food now? 2 days, I'm going to start fasting. But this desire kept growing in my heart. So finally, every man's battle, and I failed. Without my knowledge, my bike is going towards Brigade Road. it's on autopilot mode, you know. Park the bike or car, whatever, going to the KFC, picked up a meal and I'm sitting there. Back to the story. Some of you are in KFC, come back. So, I am feeling terrible. I'm not able to enjoy the KFC because my mind is full of what a sinner you are. I mean, how could you be so cheap? You want to start fasting. Do you need to do this now? And I'm asking myself questions and I'm just looking at the people, you know, these guys with tattoos, long hairs, colored, and ladies with, you know, funky clothes and couples and families and all kinds of regular crowd. And somewhere in the halfway of eating, I forgot about how I lost my self-control. I forgot complaining about myself. And I was just observing people. Somewhere in the process, this thought began to come to my mind. God brought you here. God is talking to you. You are such a Pentecostal boy. You got to change. You know how to preach to the Pentecostals and the Protestants and the Catholics. I'm a preacher boy. I have preached from the hardcore Ceylon Pentecostal and the Abhishekathile, you know. I mean, I have preached in 30 minutes on a 40-foot stage. In 30 minutes, I have done more than 7 kilometers at 12 kmph. I preached like a wild. But I've also preached from the Basilica Cathedral for the Novino of the most sacred Catholic festival. I preach through the spectrum. I'm a preacher. I've grown up talking to Christians. I can start with Leviticus and run through Genesis and touch with Ezra and go through the songs and touch the Ecclesiastics and touch with the Revelation and go through John and what Matthew, Mark and Luke felt about the same and dive through what the apostles did in the Acts and come back to Roman thinking and dive back to Haggai and talk about Habakkuk waiting on the fig tree though it doesn't blossom and go back to how the whale swallowed Jonah and the tragedy of Nineveh. I'm a Bible guy. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me, start training yourself to preach to these people where you don't pander to the Christians, but you start revealing my word to these people who won't understand Ezra's vision and Nehemiah's bodybuilding through building the wall. They won't understand Ezekiel's wheel that rolls and the eyes that moves. They won't understand the sea and the blue books of Revelation. But they'll understand what it is to look to the cross for salvation. They'll understand what it is to change in life with the love of God. Change your... When I came out of the KFC, I was already developing a secret recipe for a change in my ministry. Those 3 weeks became, in my life, a change season. But I said, God, I'm no longer going to look for the applause of the Christian community. I'm ready to reach out to the people that you want me to touch. I'm ready to change. You don't go to KFC for a vision. That's not the point. The point is, when we walk with a sense of gratitude, somewhere the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us and help us to change. Today there are people who talk to me about, oh, we wish you preached like before and the fire, Pastor. Oh, we wish. But yeah, but God had a different purpose with my life. I started cutting down on Pentecostal invitations. Come and preach in this Bible college. Come and preach in the spiritual emphasis week. Come and preach in the fasting prayer. Come and preach for annual convention. Oh, please come and preach AG Fina, USA. No. God's called me for Kempapura, Nagashetahalli, Sanjay Nagar. God's called me for something. I'll go. It's not that I won't go. But the point is, I know where my focus is. When you start becoming thankful for the call, God will start to multiply his blessings. God will start to increase his favor. When you and I have a heart of gratitude, when we have a heart of gratitude, psychiatrists tell us, medical science, they have taken it from the Bible, but they won't tell you. They tell us, You get better sleep if you learn to be thankful through the day. How many of you want to have good health? Along with vitamin tablets and exercise, medical science tells us, if you have an attitude of being thankful, you'll become healthy physically, mentally, improved self-care, greater willpower, greater self-esteem, greater and better PR skills of handling relationships. Well, you can pay 1,500 rupees, meet the finest psychiatrist and have 5 consultations with that kind of money for 45 minutes and go through another list of therapy. And by the time you've paid about 1.5 lakh rupees, you would have learned what I just told you for what Jesus paid a price on the cross. A thankful heart is a medicine to the mind, body, and spirit. Many people have destructive thoughts about their own sexuality, about their own identity, because they have forgotten to be thankful to God for the way God created them. They're confused about themselves simply because they have not appreciated the way God has created them. Be thankful for who you are and how God created you, and you will be able to experience the best of God's purpose for your life. This is so important. Many people, we are thankful to God only after we lose something. When we have it, we don't value it. This job, this studies. You lose your job. Oh my God, such a good job I had. You know, suddenly it becomes valuable. One lady used to harass me. She used to sometimes scold me. Why all men are like this, Pastor? You men won't understand. This lady particularly should. When I see her call, sometimes I would get anxious. Because I know something would have happened between her and her husband, and she can't scold her husband, so she scolds me. Husbands, please love your wife and take care of them so that pastors can have peace. I admire pastors, my pastoral team. I love them so much because, you know, pastors, morning they have a birthday celebration with somebody, then someone calls saying, oh, we cleared as CET, got a good rank, and celebrate with them, and then you go into a wedding, and then you rush into a housewarming. But all of a sudden, you have to deal with that child that just died and the parents who are grieving. Or someone who is waiting for a counseling, don't know what to do, because they've gone through this huge trauma. Oh man, pastoral life is, you know, sometimes extremes. Extremes. One psychiatrist from Australia, he once told me, Pastor Johnson, it's a miracle that your health is top of the line. Last week, I went through a diagnostic process. My wife wouldn't believe when I said I'm top of the line health. But when she read what the doctor had written, he's written, maintain this healthy lifestyle. And my wife says, what does the doctor know about your lifestyle? But the doctor says, all your parameters are so good, just maintain that. Yeah, I go for a walk in the mornings. That's the one thing I do. Pastoral life is really up and down. This lady would harass me. What does this man know? Look at the way he's talking. Today, Pastor, why he spoke to me like that? Now, what I know? I'm telling you, this would go on for months and months and months, and many times I would call this guy and tell him, bro, just take care of her. I mean, just change this way. And he would try his best, but she would never be satisfied. Always mad at her husband. And anyway, to cut the story short, one day this guy, she's told, just get out of the house, don't come back. He took it seriously. He went off to his parents' house. She called me saying, how cheap these men are. Let him stay there. My house is filled with peace. My house, I feel God's presence, Pastor. When this fellow was here, there was no peace. Now, you know, last night, my baby slept so peacefully. I said, okay. After a week, she's calling me and crying and saying, how thankless, how evil can you men be? And I said, what happened? She says, he has sent me a divorce notice. I said, sister, now your house is filled with peace.
She's crying on the phone. She's saying, no, I want him back. God gave him to me. You have to talk to him. You have to put me on a con call with him because he's blocked my number.
In my heart, I was playing sitar and violin to her tune. We know how to be thankful only when we lose something. That's very sad. How many people, you know, they call me and say, after leaving Bangalore, got married, went from Bangalore, got a new job, left Bangalore, got transferred, left Bangalore, finished studies, had to go back to hometown, left Bangalore. Then they call, say, Pastor, Bangalore, our church was the best thing in my life, Pastor. How beautiful. Pastors are available to meet everybody. The church is so focused on the Lord Jesus. There is no push and pull on collecting money. How gentle the teaching of God's word is on the concept of giving. There's respect for everybody. How much people help us in the church in times of adversity. There is no favor. Fellows who said to me, why there is no committee in the church? Go out of Bangalore to some other church and say, really, our church is so good, Pastor. There's no politics there. Clarity on doctrines of God's word. Respect for other denominations and religions. I wish I could come back to Bangalore. And when I come this time, Pastor, I'll be more involved in church. When you are in Bangalore, have you ever thought of being more involved? Somehow, when we don't have the ability to enjoy it like before, suddenly there is value to it. The other day I was telling one group of people, you have to go to church. Find out a church in your city and go. Like, no, we will watch online. There's no church like our church. Ah, but when you were in Bangalore, you would come only once a month. Too far, traffic, parking. Somehow, only when it becomes difficult, we give it value. That's a very, very sad mentality. We need to start valuing things and being thankful for it right when God has given it to us. We must value it, enjoy it. Sometimes people will love you and respect you only for a season. And when you have done things for them and you've been really good to them, they just ignore you and walk away. And the tendency is that sticks to us and we repeat that with others. No, you remain a child of God. Don't let others' bad habit become your habit. Let Christ-like nature be your habit and you continue to develop thankfulness and gratitude because not what others have done to you, but what Christ has done to you is how you want to respond. This is so very important. There's the story in the Bible. The Lord Jesus was moving from one town to the other. And a huge crowd followed the Lord Jesus because they were thankful to him. Not everybody in the town needed a healing. Many people in that town were following Jesus, not because they would get something, but they just loved him. They had a heart of thanks to him. And so they took action and followed him. The Lord Jesus, just before the Passover, went up to a mountain and he sat with his disciples, turned around and saw the whole town is following him. More than 5,000 men with their families. I mean, just multiply 5,000 men, Old Testament. There was no law of single marriage. So there was, but they ignored it. 5,000 into calculate, one man, one wife, 10,000, two children, total 25, huh? Okay, I'll leave that. Now, you keep somewhere between 25,000-35,000 people, okay, because some would have had three children, or some would have had more, or maybe one had additional wife, so... Our husband, additional husband, who knows? Yeah. So now, in those kind of situation, Jesus looks at Philip and says, can we buy them something to eat? Philip says, penny worth of big number won't be enough. And from where? Andrew suddenly tells the Lord, Lord, one boy here with five loaves and two fish. I have a feeling he was being sarcastic. He was trying to tell the Lord Jesus, yeah, of course. One boy is there with five loaves and two fishes. You want to feed everybody, right? Jesus says, bring it here. Bring it on. Bring them hither to me. And the Bible says, Jesus commanded the disciples, Tell this 5,000 into 2 into 3 into 1, whatever. Tell everyone to sit in order. When men are hungry, they are generally angry. All are seated in discipline. Why did the Lord ask them to sit in discipline? Because creating expectation. Expectation is the threshold of faith. When you expect, when you move in faith, that's where the Lord begins to work. He said, get the people to sit in order. Disciples got them to sit in order. 5 loaves in the master's hands. 2 fishes cooked. The Bible says, Jesus picked it up. What did he do? Let's read. John chapter 6 verse 11. Let's read together. Jesus took the loaves and when he had given. What did Jesus do? He gave. Lord, that is insufficient. 5 is too small for 5,000 into 2 into 3, whatever. Lord, 5 is too little. What are you doing giving thanks for 5? The Lord was teaching a simple principle. When you learn to be thankful with what God has given you, it will multiply in faith, in obedience. Learn to give thanks. That small opportunity, that small responsibility. Standing at the dung gate. A situation where circumstances are not pleasant. But if you can hold it up and give thanks. The Lord broke it, put it in the basket. Where did it multiply? I don't think Jesus was like a Chinese machine, you know, breaking that bread all the time. No, I think he broke it and put it in the baskets. And the disciples began to spread it. And when they spread in the basket, in the mouth of people, in the hands of disciples, everywhere it was multiplying. In an atmosphere of thanksgiving by faith, everything keeps multiplying for good. The Bible says everyone ate and were satisfied. That is important. Nobody got up saying which caterer that was. What kind of bread that was. No, when it is blessed in multiplication with thanksgiving, it has got the power of satisfying. The goodness of God works on it. Go ahead, give the Lord a mighty hand. Somebody give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. As people walked in obedience and distributed it by faith, it kept multiplying. Your thanks is always connected to faith. If your thanksgiving is not connected to faith, then it is not a Christian thanksgiving. When your thanks and faith are connected, His presence comes into the picture. But when His presence comes into the picture, your miracle is no longer based on the potential of the bread and the fish. Your miracle is based on the potential of His promise. And His power and what He is able to do in that given situation. The potential, the scope of what is going to happen shifts from what the bread can do, what God can do. It's no longer what that 5 loaves of bread can do. All of a sudden it is what God can do. Thanksgiving shifts you from what your education can do into what God can do. Thanksgiving suddenly shifts from what your family can do into what God can do. Yes, when you walk in thanksgiving, it's no longer what you can do, it's about what His presence can do. Some of us need to take that plunge of faith this morning and say, God, I'm going to cultivate that attitude of thanksgiving. I'm going to walk in thanksgiving. I know you're going to help me change. Things that are held too precious, things that are held as too important, I know by your grace, you might change my priorities, and I'll give you thanks for that. Hallelujah. I am ready, oh God. You had to take Johnson to eat that KFC to change his mentality. I'm not too bad, Lord. I can just change with that story. When you and I decide to change by His grace, oh man, it gets multiplied. It gets overflowing. It gets into such an abundance that people don't know from where it came. Why? Because His presence is usually invisible. Eyes closed, heads bowed, shall we say, Father, thank You for speaking to us today. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth of Your scripture. Help us to move, promote, progress from just gratefulness in heart to thankfulness in lifestyle. Help us to make our thought patterns positive and not be satisfied there, but to move into actions where our thought life of being grateful becomes lifestyle of actions of being thankful. Thank You that there is the power of multiplication in thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us to prefix our activities with thanksgiving. Help us to hold benedictions of things we do with thanksgiving. Trusting You. Thank You for the truth that thanksgiving has the power of sanctifying us. Thank You for the truth that thanksgiving replaces anxiety. And thank You for the truth that in thanksgiving, You multiply blessings, resources, victories. This morning, there is no room for evil. There is no room for sickness. There is no room for the enemy in a heart of thankfulness. Hallelujah. Like how petrol vaporizes in the sun. Like how the flower lets out its fragrance. This morning, things that you don't like in you, God is able to let it go away. Maybe you are in the dung gate and it looks ridiculous. But as your mouth is filled with thanksgiving, God is able to complete the construction in the midst of the enemies. He will build what He promised. Tell Him, Lord, this morning I thank You. I thank You for You are a good God. I thank You for You are able. I thank You for Your mercies. I thank You for Your kindness. You forgive us when we are proud in a wrong way. You forgive us when we are disobedient. Help us, Father, to walk in a heart of thanksgiving. We love You today. Thanks for speaking to us with such clarity. We thank You for the cross of Calvary. Through Your death, You brought us eternal life. We thank You that we belong to You. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people said, Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's message. I believe that you are blessed. Please connect with us for prayer or counseling. Please do call us or visit our website or visit us. The details are given in the description. We'll be glad to serve you. Do subscribe so you can receive the latest podcast to encourage you in your journey in Christ. Please do share it with your friends too by clicking the share button. We are praying for you. God has great plans for your life. Thanks again for participating, listening. God bless you.